We're glad to see everyone. I'm glad to have guests. We've been last couple Sundays talking about Joseph, the dreamer who became a slave and the slave who showed integrity. And I really felt led to come back into Romans, kind of break things up a little bit. We had left off in Romans 6, so what we're going to do is jump over into Romans chapter 8. I like preaching this kind of message. We're going to talk about life in the Spirit, Romans 8, 1 through 11. We have the word on the wall. I preach out of the English Standard Version, and that way we're all reading from the same one. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Father, I thank You that Your word never comes back to You void. It always accomplishes what You send it out to do. I thank You, Father, for Your word being truth. I thank You for the Spirit of truth whom You have sent to convict the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness, and to give us peace in Jesus Christ, those who have submitted to You, that peace that passes understanding. I thank You for Your grace that You are willing to show to Your worst enemy. And I thank You for the life that we have in Christ Jesus through Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. When you read chapter 8, you actually need to read 7. They go hand in hand. And I'll tell you right now, I do not believe in chapter 7 Paul talking about a Christian struggling with sin. Paul is speaking of a Jew who was under the law of Moses. That's what they had before Jesus Christ came and started a new covenant. And in this, Paul says, we know the law is spiritual. He said it's good, it's holy, it's spiritual, it comes from God. But Paul said, I am in the flesh. I am sold to sin, or I'm a slave to sin. And Paul found the frustration as he was a Pharisee, which was a very strict sect among the Jews who tried their very best to fulfill the law. They added some 615 doctrines to the law. Jesus remarked one day to the Pharisees, He said, you strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel. Now, a gnat was an unclean bug. In the law, there were bugs that were not clean. There was animals that were not clean. And I read that the Pharisees would carry a strainer in their pocket, and if you invited them to a meal, they would insist that the wine was poured through that strainer so no gnat would be in their wine. So Jesus said, on the smallest things, you're dead on, or you try to be dead on, but he said you'll swallow a camel whole, which was an unclean animal, and that was not flattering with what Jesus was talking about. He also told the Pharisees, if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will die in your sins. Paul the Jew is under the law, and he speaks of his frustration in trying to keep God's law. And he said, I delight in the law of God after my inward man. But he said, I find this law of sin and death is ever present with me, and I cannot do what I want to do, but I end up doing what I don't want to do. And Paul said, therefore, it's not me, but it's sin that has its house in me. The Greek says, has its house in me. It abides in me. So Paul found this frustration as a Jew that wanted to obey the law, and he said, I can't. I try. He said, man, my goal is to obey the law and enter the kingdom of heaven. But after his conversion, Paul wrote to the church in Galatia and said, by the works of the law, no one will be justified before God. You see, we're sinners. And I know a lot of preachers don't talk about that subject. They want their services seeker friendly. Don't want to make anybody mad. Don't want to offend them. I had one minister tell me he's got a pretty good large church. He said somebody suggested that we put black lights, strobe lights, and smoke for the worship service. He said, that ain't happening, baby. Not while I'm here. They're trying to draw people in. I'm not against that. I am not against getting people to come to church. We got several guests today. I'm glad you're here. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, I hope before this sermon is finished that you'll come to meet him. You see, Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of death? I can't do what I want to do. And I heard it preached that Christian is okay. You're not going to be able to walk with God. So it's okay when you sin. It's just part of being a Christian. Everybody sins. But Paul's talking about a man who wants to please God and he can't. And in the end of chapter 7, he says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Thank God, through Jesus Christ. Amen. So now, he is talking to those who have received Christ. He said, now, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When's now? Now, right now, yeah. That wasn't a trick question. I see some of you thinking, oh, when's now? Right now. If you're a child of God, right now, there's no condemnation for you. Right now, sin is not imputed unto you because there's no law. Paul was such a zealous Pharisee that he was arresting Christians. He hated them so much that he'd go to other towns and, in his own words, drag them back to Jerusalem for trial. And a lot of them were executed, and Paul was there. And he told one church, I was a murderer and a blasphemer, but God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance. Paul wasn't making excuses for his sin. He's just saying, I didn't understand until he met Jesus. I love Saul's conversion. He's gone to Damascus with a letter from the high priest to get these Christians to throw him in jail. And it says, a bright light shone around him. He fell off his horse. And a voice in the Hebrew says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. Saul was never the same man again after he met Jesus Christ. It said the church, he said, the churches rejoiced in that he who once tried to destroy the faith was now preaching it. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. That's what he came here to do. Now, Paul wasn't making excuses for his sins. He just said, I found that I couldn't keep the law. And you know, a lot of times people will make resolutions. I'll never do this again, and they do it again. I can relate to that. Before I came to Christ, my sin was doing me. I wasn't doing it. It was doing me. But after I came to Jesus Christ, I have power over sin, over the devil, over everything that's wicked. I have that power through the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. And I can live above sin. Are you saying you never sin? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying sin's not my habit anymore. And Paul says, now, right now, you're under no condemnation. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, Nicodemus, I didn't come here to condemn the world. I came here to save it. Hallelujah. If you're not a Christian, you're God's enemy. And a lot of preachers don't like to tell people that anymore, but I told the Lord, I preached the Word, and I'm going to preach the truth, and this is from the Word. You're God's enemy if you've never received Jesus Christ. I know you've heard preachers say, well, God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. There are 14 passages in Psalms that says God abhors the wicked. It's a love-hate relationship. And by the way, it's not sin that'll be thrown into the lake of fire. It's sinners. Yeah. God hates sin so much that he put it on his Son and allowed him to be nailed to a Roman cross, and he was the sacrifice for sin. And Paul said, when God did that, the law was nailed to that cross. You see, you can't approach God on your own terms. Jesus told Nicodemus, those who don't believe in me are already condemned. They're walking dead men, walking dead women. All you got to look forward to is the wrath of God. People talk about the second coming of Jesus like he's going to show up with a little lamb in his arm, all meek. And, you know, they don't understand the scriptures that said he's coming with fire to take vengeance on his enemies. Who's his enemies? Those who've rejected him. You will stand before the throne of God and he'll say, I did everything I could to keep you out of that lake of fire that I prepared for Satan and the angels. Why did you reject me? Why did you refuse that? How dare you try to come to me on your terms? All your righteous acts, all your good deeds are filthy rags to God. That's what God said. Here's the good news. For those who receive Jesus Christ, he said, those who receive me have passed from death to life. Amen. What death? The second death. Spiritual death. He said, you've passed from that into life. What a God. We're his enemies. And yet God is so concerned about us that he made a way for us to be reconciled to him. You see, in the law it said there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And they offered goats and bulls and sheep every day. You know, the temple must have reeked. When you think about the thousands of animals a day who had their throats cut and their blood poured out and their carcasses burned, blood stinks when you get enough of it into an area. It has its own pungent odor. And the ugliness reminded the Jews. Paul said the law came to make sin exceedingly sinful. Why did God say to send his Son into the world to save you and me? He loves us, amen. But he also hates us. Now, I know I'm going to hear a lot of feedback from this. I didn't say it, the scripture did. Well, God loves the wicked, but he hates their sin. He said in the Psalms, I abhor the wicked. The cross of Jesus Christ is proof that God hates sin. He hates it so much because it built a wall between us and Him, and we couldn't be reconciled on our own. We tried. I still talk to people today that try. Well, preacher, I don't go to church, but I believe if I just do the best I can, God will weigh my good against my bad. But the problem is, the Bible says if you've done one bad, you've broke the whole law. So, if you never commit adultery, James said, but you murder, you're going to be judged as a lawbreaker. If that's what you choose. I'm saying if you choose to say, I don't need Jesus Christ, I don't believe in all that, then God's going to honor that and say, okay, here's my law. How much of it did you break? All of it. That's the reason Paul said we shouldn't be saved by it. That was his frustration in chapter 7 of Romans. You get home, read that. He is frustrated. He said, man, I want to do what's right, and I can't do it. I don't know why. But after he met Jesus Christ, he said, there's no condemnation now. The Spirit of life has freed me from the law of sin and death. He goes on to say that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you're not His. I knew a Baptist preacher who told me one time, he wrote John 3:16 to hell for years. He said, folks would invite him to church, and he said, hey, I've read the Bible. If I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to heaven. And he was sitting in a motel room one night thinking about blowing his brains out. This big, tough Marine. And he picked up a Bible and he opened it to John 3:16. And he said, Rick, that hit me like a ton of bricks. I realized my belief in Jesus Christ had not changed my life one bit. James said the demons believe in Jesus and they tremble in fear. But they don't quit being demons. You see, in this passage, Paul's saying that if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, if you've received what He did for you, if you've repented, that means I've changed my mind, God right, I'm wrong, I am a sinner, I have offended the Holy God, and I need to be forgiven. God says, I'll forgive you. And after I forgive you, I'll put my Spirit in you. And once I put my Spirit in you, you can call me Father. Abba. The Aramaic Abba means daddy. It's a term of endearment. God wanted to do this for us because we could not work our way back to Him. And it doesn't matter what you've done. As I said earlier, Paul was a murderer and a blasphemer. But he said God had mercy on him. Paul said that if by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the flesh. You see, man is a trichotomy. God's triune. We talk about the Trinity. He's triune. He's three in one. Not three gods, three persons, one God. And when He created you, He made you a trichotomy. That's what theologians call it. That just shows you I've been to Bible college. I'm trying to impress you here. It just means body, soul, spirit. The flesh, when Paul talks about the flesh, the Greek word is soma. And it just literally means body, the sins of the body. He's talking about an unregenerated, unsaved person. You follow your flesh. Satan promised Adam and Eve in the garden, if you'll eat this fruit, you'll be just like God. And that appealed to them. And if Jesus Christ isn't your Lord, then either you are your own God, as in humanism, and I got news for you, your other God is Satan. Yeah. Why am I straying so far off this text? You ask. Why? How do you get over here? This is a happy sermon, you know. It's happy if you're in Christ. I tell you, I didn't hear very many amens. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That ought to have gotten amen. Or glory to God, or a hand clap, or something. Some of us, our conscience screams so loud at us. Your conscience is a God-given gift, and it's a mirror that you can look into. And Paul said, now we see dimly. You know, we like to think we got things figured out in the church, but Paul said, actually, it's like looking in a faulty mirror. We just see things dimly. Then we're going to see it all clearly. Yeah. I love the statement, there's no condemnation now. Right now. With all my faults. Right now. God looks at me and says, that's my son. I see no unrighteousness in him. If I follow the Spirit. That's what a lot of people leave out nowadays. If you follow the Spirit. Because in essence, when the Spirit of God is in you and you follow Him, the law of the Spirit and life, you know what that is? Paul said we fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. Where are the righteous requirements of the law? Jesus was asked that question. A scribe said, what's the most important commandment? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And he said, there's another commandment that is equally as important. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on this hang all the law and the prophets. So God has placed his Spirit in our hearts. Paul, remember in chapter 5, I believe it is, he said God poured his love into us. So now, Christian, instead of you being the center of your universe, if you're following the Spirit, it should be Jesus Christ is the center of the universe, and he sits on the throne of your heart. He's in control. And that enables us to love God with all of our heart, with all of our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And Paul said there's no condemnation for us. He goes on later to say, who's going to bring anything against God's elect? Jesus Christ is the one who sanctified you. Is he going to bring something against you? No. But there's a lot of people supposedly coming to Christ nowadays that don't realize they're a sinner and they need to be saved, that they're God's enemies. And the only thing they got to look forward to is his wrath and judgment. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Where are you at this morning? Can you claim this verse, Romans 8, there is no condemnation for me now? Can you say that beyond a shadow of a doubt? My sins have been forgiven. I have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And God's thrown my sins behind his back. He said never to remember them again. Do you walk by the Spirit? Paul said if you walk by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. He told the church of Galatia, the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? And he named some of the big ones, adultery, lying, witchcraft. Then he says, anger. Wait a minute, Paul. I'm Irish, you know. That's why I got a bad temper. And Paul said, no, it's because you're a sinner. Gossip. Ooh. Drunkenness. Paul said, these are the acts of the flesh. They're manifest. Paul, writing to this church, said, look, if you're professing to be in Christ, he said, the Spirit of God doesn't produce this in you. That's your flesh. That's you doing what you want to do in spite of what God said. He said, the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will produce fruit in your life. And Jesus told his church, this is how I'm glorified, and the Father will be glorified when you bear a lot of fruit. How's your fruit doing? Are you bearing any fruit? The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? If you do, Paul says, there's no condemnation. You mean I gotta love people I don't like? I used to ask about that. I gotta love people I don't like. It's not phileo. It's not an affection. It's a love that shows you're concerned. How come the church isn't evangelistic? Do we believe in the lake of fire? Do we believe that there'll be a second death for the lost? They'll eternally be cut off from God and tormented forever and ever? Amen. We believe that. Then what are we doing about it? Are we warning people? I've been told, well, now, brother, that kind of evangelism doesn't work. Well, it's God's plan. I don't think you can better him. Paul is talking to the church here. And he's saying, you can't earn your way. You can't be good enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. Peter was asked on the day of Pentecost when he preached to the Jews who had crucified Jesus, he called them murderers. You murdered the author of life. He said it was God's plan, but you murdered him. And so they were cut to the heart. That means they were convicted. Their sin was exposed. They had stood in hostility against the God who was trying to reconcile himself to him. They had hung the man on the cross that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to God except through me. And the ones who were convicted changed their minds right there on the spot, and they said, what do we do? They said, Peter, you're right. I'm a murderer. I am guilty of being the cause of the death of the Son of God. What do I do? Peter said, repent. That means change your mind. Stop arguing with God. If God says you're in sin, you're in sin. Just take it that way. You don't have to analyze it for 3 or 4 days. You don't have to go to CPO or Morales and try to find a book on the subject. Take God at his word. Repent. Change your mind. He said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And after that, you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Where are you at this morning? Can you say with Paul, there is therefore now no condemnation for me? Or are you honest enough, if you haven't come to Christ, are you honest enough to say, I stand condemned in the face of a holy God? You're one place or the other. That's what I love about God. There's no middle ground. Jesus said, you're either with me, you're against me. You're either gathering for me or you're scattering abroad. Where are you at? Am I judging anyone here? No. I can say with the Apostle Paul, Jesus Christ came to save sinners of whom I am chief. But when I accepted his offer of forgiveness and grace, my whole life changed. Would you stand with me this morning? All I'm asking you to do this morning, church, is examine yourselves, as Paul said. And if you can honestly say that I am condemned, why don't you come up here and sit down on the first row? I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'd like to talk to you. If you'd like to place membership in this church and you're an immersed believer, immersed Christian, we invite you to come up here and join our church. That's all we ask. Have you been immersed in the waters of baptism? If you're a Christian and you're away from the Lord, understand something. He wants to bring you back. He wants to reconcile you and heal that relationship. If you need to do that, don't walk out of here and say, well, maybe tomorrow, because you might not have tomorrow. I had a neighbor, 43 years old, jogged, ran marathons, went to bed the other night, and he died. And the people around the neighborhood said, man, that dude, he ran all the time, he jogged all the time, he ate healthy. But you don't have a promise for tomorrow. Would you do whatever you need to do as we sing the song of invitation?
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary.
Anybody else?
Sherry Remmons, the teacher in my classroom, in her prayers, she's still taking chemo and fighting cancer, so just pray that everything goes well and God will heal.
Any praise reports? Well, that's the closing prayer this morning.
Doctor.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Father, I thank you for loving us the way you do. Father, I'm so grateful for the things that happen in our lives that you teach us and that you show us where we need to be, what we need to do, how we need to love you back. I just thank you for the service this morning, Father. I thank you for your words. I thank you, Father, that you use this as a tool to speak to each of us. And I pray, Father, that each of us has heard your message today to us individually. I just thank you for this church, Father. I thank you for the fellowship here. I thank you for the love that's here. And I pray, Father, that you would help us and instill in us a need to go out to others, to find others, Father, who need you as well. Help us to seek the lost, Father, not to wait for them to come, but to seek them. I just praise your name for this day, satisfied for you, and I thank you for all the love that goes with this day. In Christ's name I pray these things. Amen.
From Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and various other insulting scriptures.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Glory there.